This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau is willing to hold another meeting to discuss the AgriStability Farm Support Program. We'll speak with her. As well, colder temperatures will move into the region by the end of the week. It's a big departure from what we've experienced for most of the winter so far. We'll speak with Bruce Burnett, the Director of Weather and Market Information with Market Farms. A role reversal for the railways during Grain Shipping Week 23. Since the fall, CP Rail has had better numbers than CN meeting shipper rail car orders, but that changed last week. We'll speak with Milt Poirier with QGI Consulting on that. And Corteva Agriscience has launched a new herbicide to fight against invasive weed infestations. Western Canada Herbicides Category Leader Kelly Bennett will join the program to talk about Exhilarate. All that and more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Phil, it's very sunny here in the Parkland region right now, but it sounds like some clouds might be rolling in as the afternoon progresses.
Yeah, we're in a pretty active weather pattern right now, and the next spoke of energy is going to be dropping in through the day. High pressure is going to slow it down, and that's going to mean that some of us are going to really get the minimal end of this thing. I'm calling it a thing because it's a minimal disturbance, but it's there, and it is going to have enough moisture with it that I think there's going to be some cloudiness building in, especially into this evening and the early part of tonight. That's our best chance for getting in the thicker cloud and a few flurries. We're not talking anything major, accumulation non-existent, but flurries in the air nonetheless. But again, high pressure makes it sort of variable. I think without the strength that high, we get a little more from this. It does have enough energy with it, but it should amount to pretty much nothing. Temperatures are cold for today. The sun is not doing its job, although I guess you could argue it kind of is, even though it's a very slow warmer. We're coming up, and most indications from this air mass that's building in are that it should be steady. So the sun is nudging us a few degrees. Going to put a little faith in it, say minus 13 for some of us. Not all of us get there. I'm calling it an afternoon high, though, because we hit our high early this morning. We've been falling for much of the day, and now through the afternoon, we're leveling off and coming back up. It's chilly, and just enough of a breeze to make it feel that much chillier this afternoon. Wind, at last check, coming in around 20. But that puts the wind chill down to the minus 20s. Again, flurries around tonight, a couple of light snow showers, minimal to no accumulation, down to minus 17, and still some lingering cloudiness tomorrow. Flurries possible. Through most of the day, though, they're gone. The best chance for those is early in the day, the high near minus 11. Tomorrow night, snow showers have a better chance of sticking. We could see a couple of centimeters, in fact, from this next little disturbance cutting through. This one, however, does have some cold air with it, and it's going to level off our temperatures. We get down to around minus 15 Friday night. We hold there through the day Saturday. Snow showers may still linger in the morning. Might still see another half a centimeter or so in the order of 1 to 3 between Friday night and Saturday. And then later Saturday night, as we start to clear out, that's when the temperature really comes down. We could be looking at a few nights on the other side of minus 30 with a very clear sky and a very light wind. So that's the good side. But, of course, the downside for those conditions is they are great for cooling. Sunday, a cold day. Minus 21 will do it for the afternoon high. Mostly sunny on Monday with a high minus 18.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at minus 17 degrees, Swan River minus 15, Dauphin and Brandon minus 13, Shoal Lake Russell minus 14, Roblin minus 16. Regina is at minus 11, Saskatoon minus 12, Hudson Bay, Broadview, Mooseman, minus 15. Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 13. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a west-northwest wind at 11 kilometers an hour. 74% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 16 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 22 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of plus 2 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 5 degrees. There was a trace of precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is minus 12. The normal low is minus 23. The sun rose in Yorkton at 8:42 this morning, and it will set at 5:21 this afternoon. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was a three-way tie between Winnipeg, Portage-la Prairie, and McCreary. They all got up to plus 3 degrees. The cold spot was a two-way tie between Tadoule Lake and Churchill, which both dropped down to minus 30. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Leader at plus 5 degrees. The cold spot Collins Bay at minus 25 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. It's time to check in once again with Danny Ismond.
And we're having a great day. Yorkton Hyundai.
Welcome back to GX and Agriculture. Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau is willing to hold another meeting to discuss the Agri-Stability Farm Support Program. Bibeau is pushing Saskatchewan to support proposed enhancements to the program. Saskatchewan is concerned about cost and is asking for another meeting of federal provincial agriculture ministers to discuss the issue. Bibeau is open to the idea.
I'm always open and happy to have meetings with my counterparts. Actually, we've met 21 times, if it's not 22 last year, because of the COVID context and our hope to make improvement to agri-stability.
When would you be able to call the next agricultural minister's meeting?
Oh, I think it's a matter of maybe a couple of weeks, but if it's necessary for us to move forward and proceed with the improvements on agri-stability, I'll make it happen as soon as possible.
How important is time, as you would like to make it retroactive to 2020?
It is important because obviously the further we get from 2020, the more complicated it will be to make the administrative changes to the program to be able to offer retroactivity. So obviously this is something, another part of the answer I'm waiting from the provinces to see if they are willing to make the improvement and are they willing to do it retroactively or only starting in 2021. So this is part of the question that I'm still hoping, you know, a positive answer for.
Ontario Agriculture Minister Ernie Hardiman offers his province's stance on agri-stability.
Well, I think we've been discussing the enhancements for a number of years because our producers have been very concerned about the inadequate support that's there in time of need. So we very much look forward to getting that done, and particularly because of the COVID year, we're really anxious to get it in place for this year. I think we all agree that, I think everyone agreed all the way through our discussions about needing to make changes to the Ag Stability Program, and I think we need to look at this in the short term, because obviously this is a year with all the challenges our producers are facing. We can't just sit and wait for more discussions, and I believe we need more discussions going forward to change the program, but at the same time, I think Minister Bibeau has put forward, we're prepared to support, and we want to move on and make sure it gets into place so we can get some help out to our producers.
Saskatchewan says their big concern is the cost of the program, because this province has 40% of Canada's agricultural land. Minister Bibeau, would Ottawa be prepared to change the 60-40 cost-sharing formula?
No, my offer was clear. We want to move forward to get rid of the reference margin limit and increase the compensation rate from 70% to 80% with a cost share of 60% for the federal and 40% for the provinces. Agriculture is a shared responsibility, and I think it's a fair cost sharing. And we also have to remember that all the money that we are putting in the pockets of our farmers stays in the region, stays in the province. It's rapidly reinvested in the community.
What's your deadline for coming up with a new agri-stability agreement?
I would really love to make it happen as fast as possible so we can make it retroactive. If we wait a bit longer, we will have to forget about 2020. That would be very unfortunate for our farmers who have been going through a very difficult year because of COVID last year. So this is why I'm really, pushing my colleagues to proceed and as fast as possible.
Saskatchewan has said they would have a decision before spring. Do you think that's too late?
I don't want to close the door, but the farmers have been waiting for that for so long. I think we've made a very interesting and fair proposal on the table, so I hope we will be able to move much faster than that.
Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau and Ontario Agriculture Minister Ernie Hardiman were on a conference call yesterday afternoon. It's now 12:30 on GX in Agriculture, and it's time for the AgriView portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, AgriView.
RCMP are investigating the theft of cattle from rural properties in Moosomin and Fairlight. Between October and December of 2020, a local farmer reported 35 cows and 28 calves on multiple sections of land in those areas missing. All the cows were branded with a bar over TE, and livestock services are assisting with the investigation. The 35 cows consisted of 12 black and white and 13 reds. Steer calves have green ear tags, heifer calves have yellow ear tags, and the calves aren't branded. India's government has offered to suspend implementation of three new farm laws that have triggered the biggest farmers' protests in years, which farm union leaders said they would now consider calling off. The cornerstone of the reform, introduced in September, allows private buyers to deal directly with farmers. Angry farmers who say that will make India's traditional wholesale markets irrelevant and leave them at the mercy of big retailers and food processors have camped out on major highways outside New Delhi for more than 2 months now. The Agriculture and Farmers Welfare Minister says the government is open to suspending the laws for up to 18 months, during which time representatives of the government and farmers should work to provide solutions for the industry. Farmers plan a tractor rally through New Delhi next Tuesday, which is India's Republic Day, which the Supreme Court has declined a government petition to ban. Meanwhile, experts say changes to India's farm laws could open up the second most populous country in the world to Canadian farmers. Raji Jayaraman, an associate professor at the University of Toronto's Monk School of Global Affairs and Public Policy, says if Indian agricultural corporations exert their market power, then the new laws might result in lower prices received by farmers and higher prices paid by consumers for agricultural commodities.
This is the first step towards a broader liberalization of agricultural markets in India. And so if a further step then is reducing tariffs on imports, then again, Canadian exporters may benefit in the medium to long run if there are further steps towards liberalizing agricultural markets in India.
Jayaraman says this may also help Canadian farmers who are able to sell their products to the Indian market more cheaply. Ontario has called off the last intake for its federal provincial beef cattle set-aside program. The Beef Emergency Feed Maintenance Initiative, an agri-recovery program launched after the temporary shutdown of Cargill's beef slaughter plant at Guelph,
was to have its final potential intake week opening on Monday for cattle to set aside starting January 25th. However, the Committee of Provincial Ag Ministry staff and beef industry representatives steering the program has since reviewed industry data and found the threshold for a January 18th through 19th intake period was not met based on program criteria. Those criteria included an assessment of recent processing data in Ontario. Cargill had wound down operations at the Guelph Packing Plant, the biggest beef processing facility in the province, starting December 17th, following an outbreak of COVID-19 among employees. Affected operations at the plant resumed gradually starting December 29th. The set-aside program, drafted in anticipation of a possible shutdown, was put in place shortly after the December 17th announcement, with intakes beginning on December 22nd and 30th, and again on January 12th. And that is the AgriView portion of our program. It's now 12:35 on GX on Agriculture. And let's head out once again to Danny Ismond.
And we are at Yorkton Hyundai.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and minus 16 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. Colder temperatures will move into the region by the end of the week, and a big departure from what we've experienced for most of the winter. Bruce Burnett is the Director of Weather and Market Information with Market Farms.
We're going to see some below normal temperatures move back in. It's certainly going to feel like it's a return to winter across most of the prairies here, but again, it doesn't look as if that's going to stick out around for a prolonged period. So I think that's good news. We're going to put January in the books as above normal temperatures, even with that cool off, and we'll see what February brings us.
He says to date it's been the opposite of what we would expect from a La Nina winter.
Typically what we would see is strong northerly flow, so below normal temperatures. The storm track usually is running through, I would call it the traditional parkland areas, let's say from the Peace River region down to Winnipeg in a sort of a direct line there where most of the precipitation falls, and that certainly hasn't happened this year.
As a general rule, western regions of the prairies had better topsoil moisture conditions heading into winter than eastern Saskatchewan and Manitoba.
Again, that would include most of Alberta, especially up in northern Alberta, as well as parts of the northern Peace River region. Those are the areas that will still have some subsoil moisture levels left. In southern Alberta, again, we had significant production last year, a good crop in a lot of regions, so we did use up most of that soil moisture, and so we were going into this winter with drier than normal soil reserves. So it's something we got to keep an eye on. But again, that critical area, central Saskatchewan through eastern Saskatchewan and through most of Manitoba, subsoil moisture levels are very, very low. And as I mentioned, with the winter precipitation, certainly going to need to see timely rains here as we move into the spring season for planting this year's crop.
Burnett recaps winter snowfall to date.
Above normal precipitation areas through most of Saskatchewan, with higher than normal precipitation areas concentrated north of Saskatoon, a little bit southwest of Saskatoon as well. The areas that were drier than normal were up in northern Alberta, essentially northeastern Alberta across through into the southern Peace, as well as in Manitoba where it has been the driest. And that's a significant concern here, I would say, for the eastern third of Saskatchewan and most of Manitoba. There's not adequate snow cover, and we've certainly seen with these warm temperatures higher evaporation rates than you would normally expect this time of year when you would have a snow cover that would prevent that. So again, moisture is going to be the theme for the upcoming year, and the areas that we're most concerned about are in the eastern prairies.
The long-range forecast for April to June could result in delayed seeding in some areas.
There is a significant chance that we're going to see some below normal temperatures here to start this spring planting season off. Again, last year that delayed us a bit. This year looks to be concentrated mostly in the northern prairies, but again, it's not an ideal forecast for planting this year. I think on the positive side, the moisture levels look to be fairly normal. The only areas to point out that have a significantly higher chance of below normal precipitation this spring are right along the Alberta-U.S. border. And again, these forecasts aren't necessarily particularly reliable, but I think this fits with what I think the weather pattern is going to be in the spring here, where we're going to see essentially a cooler than normal start. And I wouldn't anticipate that probably stretches through into the summer months as well. I don't see warmer than normal temperatures this summer necessarily, as long as this La Nina or transition to a neutral phase remains.
Bruce Burnett is the Director of Weather and Market Information with Market Farms. It's now 12:42 on GX on Agriculture.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for February trading at 114.12. That's up 77. April live cattle trading at 119.97, up 110. March feeder cattle trading at 139.15. That's up 162. April feeder cattle trading at 141.87, up 125. February lean hogs trading at 68.15, down 27. April lean hogs trading at 73.77, that's up 70. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. And a role reversal for the railways during grain shipping week 23. Since the fall, CP Rail has had better numbers than CN meeting shipper railcar orders. That changed last week, according to Milt Poirier with QGI Consulting, which monitors weekly grain movement on behalf of grain shippers and various farm organizations.
CN's performance saw a nice uptick. They came above the 70% order fulfillment threshold for the first time in almost 3 months, with 76% order fulfillment on a system basis in week 23. On the flip side, we saw CP's performance go in the opposite direction. At 71% in week 23, they fell below the 80% performance threshold for the first time in 5 weeks and only the second time in the last 3 months. So a bit of a turn there.
The biggest challenges for CN and CP Rail are in the very busy Vancouver rail corridor.
Neither railway performed particularly well in the Vancouver corridor, which from our perspective is likely strongly influenced by the heavy volumes that were seen in those corridors for both railways over the last few weeks, particularly leading up to Christmas and through the Christmas period. And apart from just loads on wheels, this was exacerbated by the fact that the network overall was slowing down and the count of idle cars, that's cars not moving for 48 hours or more that are under load, increased quite dramatically. And this, of course, has the effect of lengthening car cycles and has the adverse impact on empty car spotting in the country.
Weather has not been a major issue to date, but much colder temperatures are in the forecast for the coming days. Poirier says it will be interesting to see if CN can build on recent improvements.
The big question is, will this be a one-week aberration or will the progress hold going forward? There are some promising signs. They have improved the fluidity of their network in the last 10 days. They've lowered the level of carryover orders from 1 week to the next. They fell below 1,000 orders carryover into week 24 for the first time in 3 months, which is pretty good. They've shown some improvements in empty car spotting capacity, and they've started rationing fewer and fewer cars. They only rationed about 200 cars a week on average since the beginning of December, which is far lower than what we had seen in October and November.
As for CP Rail,
the question is going to be is how quickly can they right the ship? They had a bad week. There's no question about that. Historically, what we've seen this year is when they have a bad week, they have the ability to bounce back. They seem to have demonstrated more flex capability in their car spotting capacity than CN has from week to week. Unfortunately, they had a very high level of carryover unfilled orders into week 24, north of 1,300. which was the highest number we've seen from them in a number of weeks. So that's likely to impact their performance in the short term. But if they hold true to past performance, they will get by this in the next couple of weeks, and we should see their performance, you know, get back to the levels that we were seeing most commonly, which at least would be in the low to mid 80s.
Milt Poirier is with QGI Consulting and monitors grain transportation performance on behalf of the Ag Transport Coalition. His remarks come from the Grain by Train podcast produced by Pulse Canada, a member of the Ag Transport Coalition. It's coming up on 12:51 on GX on Agriculture. That means it's time for the Commodities Update. That's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty agent.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading up across the board this afternoon. March canola trading at $656.60. That's up $8.20. May canola trading at $644.50, up $9.90. March Minneapolis wheat trading at $634.75, down 2¾¢ of a cent. March Kansas City wheat trading at $635.50, down 1½¢. March Chicago wheat trading at $661.25, down 6½¢. March corn trading at $524.75, up 2¾¢ of a cent. March soybeans trading at $13.73¼, that's up 3¾¢ of a cent. March oats trading at $3.62 per bushel, down 2¢ this hour. And that's the Commodities Update.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. And Corteva Agriscience has launched a new herbicide to fight against invasive weed infestations. Western Canada herbicides category leader Kelly Bennett tells us about Exhilarate.
So Exhilarate is for wheat and barley, and that includes durum wheat and winter wheat as well.
What types of weeds does it control?
So Exhilarate, it's really kind of a workhorse product. It gets all the most common annual broadleaf weeds. It has suppression on some perennial broadleaf weeds as well, but it's really meant to be kind of a, you know, that general purpose broadleaf herbicide that will take care of the majority or pretty much all of your weed problems unless you've got some unique ones.
Should it be mixed with any other herbicides?
So Exhilarate was built to be convenient so that as a from a broadleaf standpoint, it's a standalone herbicide. All you need is in the box. And then for grass control, the main tank mix is to add your wild oats and green foxtail, Japanese brome, things like that would be Simplicity and Axial and Everest.
How long has Corteva been working on Exhilarate?
So Exhilarate's kind of an interesting one. The key active ingredient in it is called Arylex. And Arylex Active was first commercialized in 2015, and we had a couple of product concepts on the market for a few years. And we found that one of the product concepts just has never done that well. It seemed to be a bit confusing and really never caught on with farmers. So we've taken that product and we've created a new product called Exhilarate that's a co-pack, and it is a complete product, so there's less confusion around what it does and where it does. And we also felt that there was a gap in terms of the economic value of the previous product as well, so we actually have reduced the price by 13% compared to what it would have been last year.
Is it available now?
So it will be available in 2021 at all crop protection retailers across Western Canada. So farmers will be able to pick it up this spring. We've been producing it already. It's already registered, so it will be in. Well, in fact, there's some in retail warehouses already.
Is it expensive?
Well, I guess expensive is all relative, but I guess if you compare it to its peers at a suggested retail price, it's priced economically. But these days, you also have to consider the grower rebate programs are fairly significant. But at a suggested retail price of $10.30 an acre, it's probably most direct competitors, competitive products would be Infinity, which has a suggested retail of around $11 an acre, and a Barricade, which usually you would need to tank mix MCPA for it to be comparable, would be, you know, in that kind of mid $10 plus around $3 of MCPA. So it's priced economically. And then with our Flex Plus Rewards program, farmers can earn up to 18% back off of that 1030. So it gets into a pretty nice price range for a black soil zone broadleaf herbicide.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I think one of the things points I like to make is that, you know, Corteva, we're really strongly based as an innovation company, and we're constantly monitoring farmers' changing needs. And, you know, some people will be critical sometimes when you come up with a new product and they say, oh, it's just a combination of things that you already had registered. And I guess, you know, innovation and benefiting farmers takes on different forms. It can be something brand new or a new mode of action or a new active, but it can also be making things more convenient, less confusing, adding resistance management. Exhilarate is a great resistance management product because it has multi-mode of action with the actives in it, where it controls you know, same weed with multiple actives, and convenience and adding formulations and things like that. So innovation is really aimed at improving the farmer's position with the spray operation, and that's one of the things we're trying to do.
Kelly Bennett is the Western Canada Herbicides Category Leader for Corteva Agriscience. It's now 12:58 on GX on Agriculture.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Consultations have begun on a proposed nutrient targets regulation under the Water Protection Act. The Sustainable Watershed Act, which received royal assent in 2018, enabled the development of nutrient targets for Lake Winnipeg and its tributaries. The Made in Manitoba Climate and Green Plan called for the development and implementation of targets for nutrient reduction, including for the Lake Winnipeg watershed. The Green Plan also committed to innovative approaches such as water quality trading that would depend on the establishment of nutrient targets. Agriculture Minister Blaine Peterson notes that establishing and implementing nutrient objectives and targets is expected to help Manitoba's collective nutrient reduction efforts by helping guide future nutrient reduction activities, implementing best practices, identifying priorities, and tracking progress over time. To learn more about the proposed nutrient targets regulation and to provide comments, visit the Manitoba Regulatory Consultation Portal. Comments are invited through February 26th of this year. And that's all the time we have for the Farm Bulletin Board today. It's now 1 o'clock, and it's time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of flurries, winds west-northwest at 15 to 30, and a high of minus 13. For tonight, cloudy with a 50% chance of flurries, winds west-northwest at 10 to 20, a low of minus 17. For tomorrow, partly to mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of flurries, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, a high of minus 11. For Saturday, cloudy with a 50% chance of flurries, then ending, winds north-northeast at 15 to 25, a high of minus 15. For Sunday, sunny, a high of minus 21, and Monday, sunny, a high of minus 18. In the Paw, it's minus 17, Swan River minus 15, Dauphin and Brandon minus 13, Show Lake Russell minus 14, Roblin minus 16. Regina is at minus 11, Saskatoon minus 12, Hudson Bay, Broadview, Mooseman minus 15, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington minus 13. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a west-northwest wind at 11 kilometers an hour. 74% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 16 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 22 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.